Welcome to the How Soccer Explains Leadership podcast, where we explore leadership principles through the lens of the beautiful game.
Welcome back to How Soccer Explains Leadership. Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Thank you so much for engaging what we get to talk about, these incredible conversations that we get to have, and you are just as much a part of them as we are. So I appreciate each and every one of you out there. I'm Phil Dark, your host. With me is my co-host, Paul Jobson, and this is our season 10 post-match show. I can't believe we finished season 10, and this was one heck of a season. Paul, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Phil. I mean, I totally agree. It's crazy that it's been 10 seasons and that, you know, it was an amazing season. And I feel like, I don't feel like maybe we say this every time, but it's only continuing to get better. I mean, I just kind of see what's on the horizons here, but this was an amazing group of four that we had a chance to talk to. Awesome season, and looking forward to kind of doing a recap of this. And hopefully our listeners, if they haven't had a chance to listen to these, just go back and enjoy. And that's the joy and the great piece of the podcast world is you can always go back and listen. They will be there pretty much forever.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's why I love doing this, because I talk with people who are, you know, whether it's at the convention or coaches or just parents or whatever, they're talking about episodes we did, you know, back in 2020, and they're talking about things that we did, whatever, a couple years ago, you know, episode 14, whatever. They're, you know, I just sent out a couple of the Brad Miller episodes that we were able to do. Was able to connect him with a friend who's in college, who is wanting to go into sports psychology. So it's just so cool how this all works, you know, and being able to have this be a community. And that's really what we want it to be, is that community. I know I've become really good friends and with some of the people who I didn't even know beforehand that have been guests on the show. And I look forward to doing the same thing with some of these other guys. And that hopefully will happen with some of the people that we've had in this half of the season. And, you know, there's so much going on in our world today. I mean, in our own lives, right? I mean, we've talked about this, just busyness, craziness. I mean, when are you going to be able to have conversations like this with people, just with how busy everyone is, and to be able to sit down for hour and a half with some of these people who are, you know, in this half of the season, for sure. Like, I joke about it with you as far as legendary status. I think, you know, with some kids, you probably are a legend. But some of these people we had, true legend, like legends of the game. And we have some coming up as well. People who have been around for so long, doing some incredible, incredible work, and just humble people who know they don't have it all figured out. That's so much what I love about being able to do what we get to do.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk real quick, you know, Warrior Way, you're getting ready to head down to Costa Rica here pretty soon. Excited about that?
Yeah, we are. We're excited. We're still doing our trips to Guatemala, and we've got one of those coming up or this summer, and put our team together for this summer already. But yeah, we've got a spring break trip. We're taking the college team down to Costa Rica with our partners there, and excited. Going to play some soccer and do some sport ministry down there in Costa Rica, and had some doors and opportunities to open up down there with our Latin America partners. So we're excited to get down there. So yeah, we leave in less than a week. So all those details are getting together. And of course, as we always do, as soon as that's over, come right back and start our spring season of Warrior Way. So it's all ramping up right now. But yeah, excited to get down to Costa Rica. Not a bad place to go, no matter what, but it'd be a fun place to go serve and play some soccer and enjoy the beach a little bit too while we're there.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's super cool. Yeah. That'll be a great trip. Yeah, it's been so interesting. Recently, my son has gotten into flag football. I know your kiddos are doing all kinds of different sports too. And
yep.
It's been so much fun to see him out there. We talk about it all the time, right? Like, you know, doing different sports, playing different sports. But I had a conversation with him that I thought is really very relevant to what we talk about here on the show. He got to go out and throw. A friend of his was a quarterback, and he had a private training with an NFL quarterback who was home for the offseason. And so Justin gets to go out there and just catch balls with they just need someone to catch balls. So he ended up, throughout the whole thing, ends up getting to basically play catch with this NFL quarterback. And so after the thing, he's like, man, this is so much fun. I love football. And he goes, but I want to, but I really want to play pro soccer someday, right? And I'm like, well, you know, that's, you got plenty of time for that, kiddo, you know? And I said, I go, do you want to play football in high school? We have an incredible football team in our high school, and who knows if he'd even be able to make it, but he's athletic, so probably would. But he goes, yeah, I'd like to, but I just can't do it. I go, Justin, you're a kid. I want you to be a kid. Yeah. I want you to play high school football if you really want to play. And you'll be a better soccer player if you play football, because you'll learn new things and learn different moves and learn different patterns. You won't get hurt, this and that. And he goes, really? Really, Dad? Goes, I want to do that. I want to do that. And it was super cool. It was like, it was just awesome. This moment of like, he realized like, okay, oh, wow, wait, I don't have to specialize. What? Really? I don't have to just put everything into this one basket? That's what everyone's telling me I have to do. And it was just a really good moment that we had together. It's just, folks out there, we're not just saying words. It's real. Give kids a break. Let them do things that they want to be doing. Don't make it be about, oh, you have to do something. You got to do something because somebody told you have to do something, or because somebody else is doing something. Everyone has their own journey. And if your kid wants to play a bunch of sports, let them play a bunch of sports. The rest will figure itself out, you know? And, you know, don't come back to me in 5 years because they don't make pro and blame me. It probably has something to do with other things out there. But that's the reality. Kids will burn out if we keep at it. There's so much to do that you could be doing, and there's always one more thing you could be doing. Don't get caught in that trap. Don't get caught in that trap, but continue pushing. But, you know, just encourage, love, and let them try these new things, you know, because I had so much joy watching him play flag football because I love flag football. That was my favorite sport in college. Just that flag football, you know, and to be able to see him just go out there and have a blast, just free, you know? I mean, you see these kids that are so soccer, or whatever, name the sport, and they go play another sport and they have just tons of joy and fun. It's like, man, what are we missing here? Anyway, what do you think?
Well, you said it. Let them be a kid, you know? That's part of it. So,
yep.
Absolutely.
Anyhow. All right, bro. Well, hey, let's get to these episodes, man.
We
got, you know, we talked about the Warrior Way. One of these, the first guest we had went down with you to that Guatemala trip. And this conversation we had with Ruth Brennan Morey, man, it never ceases to amaze me, elite athletes. We had back-to-back her with Marcy, and they both talked about just wanting to run marathons for fun and running and doing stuff. I don't know, man. This elite performer thing mentality is just foreign to me. I don't know. What do you think? What did you think about that interview?
It's awesome, man. I love when we have an opportunity to talk to elite athletes, because I think it really does. I mean, it just reaffirms in my mind, you know, I just think that the elite athlete, and I've said this before, I think they just really teeter on that line of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. They're just right 100%. On that edge of like one way, you know, just teetering on the line of crazy. But they're able, because they're elite, they're able to stay on that line and stay out of crazy, but stay normal, but push themselves to that line all the time to be able to, you know, compete and perform at an elite level. And then one thing that, you know, with Ruth's conversation, I mean, I encourage our listeners obviously to go back and listen to her story, but, you know, was a great college soccer player, but then, you know, now later was a, you know, an ultra marathoner, triathlete, just crushing it at an elite level. And like you said, some of it's just for fun in a lot of ways, which I don't get that. I've got to motivate myself just to go up and get daily exercise and stay alive. So, but her story is amazing. And obviously Ruth, you know, like you mentioned, she's a great friend of ours. She played college soccer with Marcy, and they've been lifelong friends, and is actually on our board with Warrior Way and has gone to Guatemala with us. But a special person, does some, a lot of coaching, but just a really great episode. I think one of the common themes, and we talk about common themes, is that a lot of our interviews this season, and, you know, a tease into next season, we could have them on multiple times. We could have done an entire season with Ruth. We could have done four episodes with Ruth, or half a season with Ruth, and never probably touched everything because of her background and knowledge and all the different things that she has touched and is touching throughout her career when it comes to soccer and elite athletes and you know, mentality training and all of those different things. There's a lot in that episode.
Yeah, 100%. She talked about, you know, we're not going to get into all this stuff. Go listen to the episode, because we wouldn't do it justice anyway if we started talking about it. But she talked about things like confidence is learned. It's not something that you just have or don't have, right? You need to, it's a learned behavior. Some people kind of have that born with confidence, quote unquote, that we think is confidence, but usually that borders on delusional when people are in that. And if it's not learned, if it's not based in reality and based in fact, and that's what she had some incredible exercises for that, that I've actually thought about how I can incorporate those things into my coaching and into my parenting, even as far as like find that one thing that was a great thing that happened at practice, right? The one that we usually focus on the negative side of things. The ideal team family, the concept of true potential and what that looks like. So go check those things out. Go listen to that episode. Go listen to all these episodes again. If you haven't listened to one of them, go listen to, for sure, listen to each of these because they have so many. We talk about nuggets on this show. These were like, you know, we talk about sometimes you pan for gold and you get nothing, man. These were like back in the gold rush, probably what it was like in Coloma in 1849, you know, when they're just finding it and they're going after it. Like you're just getting gold coming into that pan all the time. That's what I felt like in these interviews. You're just going, man, that was good. Man, that was good. And you wanted to mine it. You wanted to go deeper. You wanted to go deeper, but then we're like, man, we would be here for 5.5 hours. And so I love that each of these guests were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's give me back on. I'd love to do it again. So anyway.
Totally. Well, even back to, you know, where you were saying, you know, earlier about, we're talking about kids playing multiple sports and things like that. One of the things that Ruth talks about in her episode, I encourage you to go back to listen to, is that unstructured free play. You know, we're talking about organized sports and playing multiple organized sports, but, you know, her views and things that we talk about unstructured free play, which I think we talk about with a lot, you know, with some other guests as well and previous and in the future. Again, a lot of teases for the future episodes already, but she talks about that unstructured free play. And I think it's a great perspective that she has on that I encourage our listeners to go back and have a look at, because again, it's sometimes, you know, not having that structure of rules, and sometimes the coaching gets in the way of that creative development, especially in soccer, but just in, hey, go make up a game, you know, go, you know, just go play, just get outside. Right? Just go. Yep. Get away.
For sure. And one of the things I had actually at that same, when my son was just doing that training with his buddy, I was talking to the dad and I was talking about it. I think we've talked about it on the show where our kids probably, your kids may out there in Waco, but my kids for sure are definitely not going to know what it's like to be playing in the street and have to yell car when they're playing, right? I mean, that's just that unstructured. We used to just play in the street. Just play football, play, you know, stickball, play whatever. And I lived on a very dangerous street. I was talking to my buddy down on my street that I grew up on because I was cleaning out my dad's place. And we used to play on this crazy busy street that they had to put speed bumps on because it was so busy. And we used to play football there all the time. Yeah. And now it's like, man, you can't even go to the park to play because they're locked up or full or whatever. You know, we've talked about that as well. So yeah, anyway, sure. We won't get into that because we did talk about that quite a bit on that. And she just talked about how she watched her son play ice hockey on the pond out there in Minnesota. It was just a cool little story. So definitely go check that out. All right. We got Ollie was our next interview, head coach at the Orange County Seahorses, author, wrote a book called Veritas Malaeke is his last name. Remember, we had that conversation as well. Yeah. So he had a lot of really cool stuff in his interview as well. Not surprising, man. All these interviews did. But Ollie is with FCA as well. He's now FCA Cal State Fullerton, just took the job. First women's Orange County. Now they're the Orange County, or the SoCal Eagles, not the Orange County Seahorses anymore. SoCal Eagles.
They changed names.
They did. They went with the Chicago Eagles and Charlotte Eagles, and kind of now they're part of the, they've always been part of the MAI Eagles kind of.
Yeah, it's not changing what they're legacy. Doing, just a brand.
Not change. A bit. Just a brand name, because to keep it consistent across the board so people know they're part of it. My wife was excited as well. She was never a fan of the Seahorses name as a, you know, you're going to go out there, let's go after it, Seahorses, you know, it just didn't really stick with her. But they are the SoCal Eagles anyway, the first women's team he's going to be coaching this summer, so that he's excited about that. As am I. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for ministry stuff. But what'd you think of that with Ollie?
Yeah, Ollie's one of those guests that, you know, sometimes that the journey that they have to where they are today is, for me, was maybe the most impactful piece of that, of his interview. Just his story of how he grew up, who, you know, the lessons he learned through life. And I don't want to spill everything that he talks about, but he had an amazing upbringing, amazing story. And I think that, and we do this with everybody, right? Tell us how you got to where you are. but his story of where he grew up, how he grew up, how he came to faith, his faith journey is amazing. And then how he's using that now in everyday life, not just with, you know, the Eagles, just even having people when that thing released, people that I know texted me going, oh man, I knew Ollie Wynn, you know, just one of those guests that, you know, he's obviously covered a lot of ground in his time and just enjoyed. I think there's a lot of moments in that episode where you just find yourself just listening because he's a great storyteller. He's telling some great things. He has a lot to say, but his story, I think impacted kind of me the most out of that. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I had that down as I wrote it here on my little notes here. It was just a great story. I mean, you know, again, go listen to the story, folks, because we won't do it justice if we say, you know, exactly what happened or even just little tidbits of it. So go check it out. It is a story that is very unlikely that he would end up with FCA staff in Orange County, California, coaching a ministry driven soccer team in Orange County. Like that's, I guess it's South LA County technically, but it's a really cool story. But then also he didn't just stop at, oh, I got a cool story, I can ride that train. No, he's now coaching these teams on finding their purpose and living meaningful lives that are, you know, driven by purpose that is greater than themselves, by purpose that isn't just about, you know, going and getting stats. You know, what is your why? We talk about what is your why all the time, right? Yeah. And he's got that why of helping people find their why, which is really cool. And it's similar to my why, right? But he also just talked about some of the things that are in his book that were really neat. Some of these ideas, these concepts. I'm actually doing a talk in a month and a half using this concept of kintsugi, the idea of, you know, the broken things when a mug or a cup or a bowl, whatever, is broken, and they have this idea of the gold, you know, it makes it stronger when you repair it with the gold, and it makes it not only stronger, but more beautiful than it was before. And that idea is such a great concept of sometimes our dreams are shattered. Sometimes our vision, our hopes, our whatever, our goals are just like, nah, it's not happening anymore. You know, we talked about that idea of that open-handedness with our goals. So you're not just saying, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. You know, going back to like my son with the pro soccer, it's like, how many of us wanted to be pro soccer players when we were kids? That was our dream. We were going to be pro soccer players or pro whatever players. 99.9% of the people didn't realize that goal, right? And so what does it look like to go after it with full bore, but also have an open-handed approach to it? That is such an important thing. So anyway, any other thoughts on that? Any other specific things that he talked about that you want to throw out there?
I think we grabbed it. Just definitely, you know, getting into his story, and I think our listeners are going to really, really dive into that and love that if they haven't heard that already.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, he talked a lot about the specifics of his book as well. I encourage you to go out and grab that book.
For sure.
In the show notes as well. It's called Veritas. It's actually an acronym. I'm not going to pretend to remember what all of them are right now, but they're good. They're good. I will say that. All right. So we got Ollie, and then the next, this starts getting into the like legends of legends, League of Legends. Isn't that a game, a video game, I think?
I don't know.
Am I getting into copyright issues right now?
I think I might just take it.
Okay. League of Legends. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to have a little battle royale at some point. We're going to get them in a steel cage match with these legends and see what happens. That'd be actually fun. We should do that at a convention. Maybe next year I can talk to you know, Simeone and some of these other guys, USC, and see what we can see what we can make happen. I don't know that they'd pull it off, but I know a lot of people would come. Instead of the NWSL draft, maybe we have that. Or maybe at the NWSL draft, maybe we could
do it. Propose it and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna talk about that. I'll talk to these guys. So the first one is Lincoln Phillips. So Lincoln is a dude that we were planning fully to get a live in person at the convention interview with Lincoln. And for whatever reason, it didn't pan out. But you know what? I'm glad it didn't. Not because we couldn't have hung out with him in person, but I think we went a lot deeper than we probably would have been able to just here on the Zoom. So what'd you think of Lincoln, man?
Yeah, Lincoln's one of these guys that I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of our, you know, we're talking about him being a legend, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of our listeners have no idea who Lincoln Phillips is, you know. But I'll just tell you, if you don't, you need to know, because I think if you're going to be a true fan of the game, he's a guy that, like, if you say you can name certain players or certain coaches that have made massive impacts in not just in soccer, but in the world, Lincoln Phillips needs to be on your list. And I think that I agree with you. I'm glad we didn't get to talk to him at the convention. I think it worked out great, because the things we were able to talk through with him, you know, on our episode, and really just dive really deep into his story, I think are going to really benefited me. I think will definitely benefit our listeners to know more about his story and who he is. And before, you know, he's got, you know, there's some movies coming out, some things that they're coming out about him. You're going to want to listen to our episode before you even see all that, because I think you're going to get a great base to set you up to watch that. But he's an amazing man. He's done so much for the game, so much for just people that he's coached. He's just continued to pour into people. He's absolutely is a legend of the game, from Trinidad and Tobago, a goalkeeper, a legend in so many different ways and avenues. I just loved his, again, another person that we could have done an entire season with Coach Phillips. He just has so much to offer and is so willing to do that also. I just really thoroughly enjoyed our conversations with him. And, you know, one of the things that sticks out, you know, was that goalkeeper was the last line of defense and first line of attack, right? We get into that a little bit, and some other things too. That's probably the least important piece of all of it, but it stuck out in my mind. Because you guys are all goalkeepers. I'm just I just linger around those conversations with you goalies. But great, great conversation with him. Legend of the game. And I think a guy that we'll be talking about for a really long time in the sport of soccer, and the things that he's done and the impact he's had on the game.
Yeah. Well, you say that about, like, I'm a goalkeeper and I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
And I will say that, like, why, I don't know, because the story is incredible. He actually has an ESPN, like a 16-minute documentary that I watched actually after the interview, because I'm like, man, how did I not find this before? I don't know. Obviously, I didn't research as well as I should have. And that's full vulnerability, folks. Normally, I would have watched that. I would have had more questions. I'm so glad I didn't, because I think it was 100% meant to be, because he started talking about this thing in 1971. And it goes to his humility, too, because I mean, I think probably haven't heard him, because he's not a self-promoter. Like, he's not going after it. The guys who are, he's got a movie coming out about his life. Well, I look at this. The executive producers are Charlie Davies, Gooch. What's his name? I don't remember. I'm blanking on the name.
I want to say Adu.
Moadu. Moadu is on it. And then one, Jose Altidore. Like, these guys are, and then Spike Lee, like, made one of this documentary. Like, these guys are making this movie about a man who has made such a massive impact from Trinidad and Tobago, right? So it's not some American dude who's coming up. Now, he came and coached at Howard University. There's an incredible story. Go watch that documentary. We'll have it in the show notes. It's going to be a movie. Listen to this interview, like Paul said. Listen to this interview beforehand, because you get some kind of background stuff that is just so cool to hear about. But it's not something that he's talking about it because he's bitter and he's trying to, like, make things right and all this other stuff. No, it's like, because there's lessons out of it that he was able to learn. And one of the most important lessons that he talked about was this relationship he had with the St. Louis University coach. So powerful. It totally reminded me. And you go listen to it. Listen to how he talks about it with, you know, Coach Keogh, who is another legend of the game, right, at the St. Louis University. And he talks about it. And it reminded me, I just finished watching 42, the story of Jackie Robinson. It reminded me of it's a similar type story with the abuse and the racism and all the impact of that and what that, you know, and how it took. But it reminded me of the Clyde Best interview, where he wasn't like going, oh, we got to, you know, do this or that or the other thing. It was just you know what? This happened. It wasn't right. But there were people who, you know what, beyond that, we went above it and we had great relationships in the midst of it. And so that was something that I thought was a massive lesson in and of itself. And so, and I too, you know, I loved, you know, you talked about it. We have some fun conversations too. It's not just all this serious conversation about these different things. We had some fun conversations about the goalkeeping. debatable topics, you know, that are debated. And I love talking with him about it, where he's like, I will go to my grave with this thing, you know, I will live and die with this, this thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but he was firm on one thing, and it has to do with corner kicks, and it has to do with positioning of certain players. And he would, he'd put his life on it, basically. So that's all I'm saying.
We did talk some soccer too. Yeah. With the, you know, so there's some,
yes, we did.
Some good coaching lessons in there, or opinions from a great coach.
I would say opinions from a great coach, but strong opinions from a great coach. But the other thing that he talked about, and it's something that is really big on, for those of you out there who have kids who may not be the best, or coaches who are like, man, there's this player, loves the game, but just doesn't have it athletically. He actually said, this is a quote, I was a terrible athlete as a kid. I was terrible. Terrible was the word he used. But he went and he worked really hard, became a goalkeeper, and then he ultimately became the Trinidad and Tobago goalkeeper of the century. Which is pretty good, I'd say, you know? But that's a kid who was picked last. That's a kid who was like, yeah, I'm just going to kind of go out with my friends. Remember, Amanda Vandervoort was another one who said that same thing, right? She was picked last, and she just went after it, played really hard. So that was, I think, a lesson in itself that's so important. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agree?
Yeah. No, right. I 100%. And I think he even talks a little bit about, you know, coaches finding, I don't know if he says it this way exactly, but coaches kind of finding their own identity when they're coaching teams. You know, how it's, you look at other coaches and how they do things. But he has some opinions on, you know, how coaches should approach their own, you know, way of coaching, even, you know, which I don't know. There's just a lot of, again, we could have talked with him for days on end, but never probably reached everything that he has to offer. But a great, great episode, great man, a great man of the game, on top of that. And again, just has impacted a lot of people through being a great coach.
For sure. All right. So last interview of the season, definitely last, but definitely not least, Randy Waldrum, you know, who, this was a fact that you could have told me beforehand, before I started researching, that he did found the program at Baylor. So he was a forerunner.
I like you doing your research.
Yeah, I know. Just see if I got that one.
And you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me either. So
no, I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder if Paul knows. So you did know. You did know.
I did.
And I did. Yes, you have had some conversations with Randy. And so it was another great interview. My favorite thing about this story is how he got the Nigeria job without applying for it. So, no, or interviewing for it, for that matter, the Nigeria women's national team. That was one of my favorite things about the whole deal. There's a whole lot more to it. What I want to hear from you. What do you think about this interview we had with your old buddy?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I've known Randy a long time, and you know, we're not fishing buddies or anything, but I think I even mentioned it in the interview. You know, he's just a guy that he absolutely is a legend of the game. He has been as long as I've been coaching college soccer, and I think I say it on the pod, but you know, he was always available. You know, and I think that's something we kind of get into in this podcast, is just the availability of coaches, always giving back, being a constant learner, things like that. But he has done some really, really cool things. The Nigerian story is funny, but has lived through a lot of things. And he's coached at so many different, he's had so many different coaching types of opportunities. And we kind of talked through him. He started the program at Baylor, and then went and took over a Notre Dame team that had just won a national championship. And then he went into coaching in the women's pro league. He's coached national women's teams. He's coached, and then he got back into the college game and took over, you know, a program who hadn't had success in 20 years. So I think there's just some great lessons in there that we talk about, that he shares with us, and how he kind of went through those different scenarios. And we get to hear, you know, his World Cup experience, just some great stories from a coach who's seen and done a lot of things. We talk about his, you know, 9-game losing streak, you know, tease you with that one, that I don't think he realized that he had done that, and probably had never done that before, but he did. Randy Waldrum, one of the greatest coaches of all time, had a 9-game losing streak. So I'll just leave you with that. But yeah, just he's a great guy. He's been great. Like another great legend of the game. He's been great for the game. He continues to give back. We talk about that a little bit, how he's continuing to give back to coaches even now, while even currently in the game. And yeah, just a great, probably one of my favorite interviews that we've done, just because even though I know him, there's just so, like, there's bits and pieces of stories that I knew, but getting even more detail. He's very vulnerable with us with a lot of the details through his transitions through his career.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was the thing that I loved about him, and you kind of hit it a little bit in there. Not only is he available, but he's also learning all the time. Yeah. Like, that was the thing that was so evident in that interview, learning from outside of his disciplines as well, and very willing to hear from different people and learn from his assistants, learn from other coaches, learn from other sports, learn from other people. That's consistent with pretty much all these different great leaders that we've talked with, that they're all learning. And we know that when we talk to them about what are you reading, what are you learning from? And they're talking about all those things, right? And so I love that. That was very, very clear in that interview. And just, you know, again, the humility of these guys. Like, they have every right to be like, yeah, look at what I've done, and look at my resume, and look at all these great programs I've coached. But you almost got to, like, drag it out of them, you know, when you're having these conversations with them. Like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, you had a Nigeria team that almost beat England in the Women's World Cup. You know, that's a pretty big deal. Oh yeah, you know, but I also had 9 games in a row that I lost, and I'd probably learn more from that than anything else, you know? So, but yeah, I think you will definitely be, and that's what I learned at the convention that's when I met him, was at the convention. And just even his breakout session there when he was talking, it was very, very vulnerable, very open. Afterwards, I go up to him, hey, we'd love to get you on the podcast. Yep, for sure. Here's my number. Take down my number. You know, like, we talked about that in the past, just like, take the meeting, go after it. Don't assume people are too busy. Very available. And it's not, we don't just say those words. Like, obviously, Paul didn't get him on the show. I was the one who was able to, not saying that like, oh, look at me, but it was like that's telling, because it would have made sense for Paul to just call him, hey, you want to be on the show? But it was like, no, it was at the convention saying this. And I did mention that Paul was my co-host, and he didn't say, oh, my buddy Paul, but it was definitely a recognition. Like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's
name
legit.
Sounds familiar.
That's legit. Yeah, that
name sounds
where
familiar.
Where do I know that name from? Marcy's husband?
Oh, Marcy's husband.
Okay,
that's
okay,
right. That's
okay.
Usually what I have to lead with when I introduce myself to people.
Yes.
Hey, Paul Jobson. Yeah, I'm Marcy's husband.
Yes. Oh yeah, Marcy. Oh, she's awesome.
Okay, for sure.
Didn't realize she
for
was married, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Marcy Miller. Was that Miller? I've heard.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Okay.
But no, you know, his humility, I mean, even just kind of the story of him, you know, going to take over for, you know, when Petrucelli left Notre Dame after winning a national championship, and he went, you know, he went there, and how he, you know, took over that. But then I don't know if he says, yeah, we went on to have some success. I think we had to throw in, like, yeah, you won how many national championships?
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you
totally.
Know, he wasn't bragging about the number of national championships that he won, you know. Just a lot of humility. And again, just another legend of the game that just continues to give back to coaches, to people, to his players. And I think folks are really going to love, hopefully have really loved that episode. And if they haven't heard it, need to go back and dive into that.
For sure. And I love even hearing from some of you out there who are listening, and just the text you're sending or email or whatever, just telling us how these different episodes have impacted you and influenced you, and how you're excited to listen to this next one or whatever it may be. Like, I love that. Absolutely love that. And we have been teasing the next season a little bit here, and we do have another legend kicking off season 11 with Shellis Hyndman. And we've already done that interview, and it's another great one. Not surprising. Talk about origin stories. You know, we hear a lot about origin stories on these Marvel movies, right? Well, these are like real life, legit origin stories that are so incredible to see how God takes someone from one place. Talked about with Ollie, but with Shellis, man, what an amazing story. And a man who has given so much to this game And yeah, and you know, Paul even did send me a picture from FC Dallas with a plaque there in front of it saying this is true legend status. And I heard there, I did check into it. I heard they're making the statue right now, Paul, of you in, to put in front of the field at Baylor. but they're trying to find a good enough, you know, the person to make that statue, because it's pretty, you know, the Michelangelo is no longer around. So it's hard to make physique into a statue. And so anyway, maybe one day they'll find that right person. What do you think?
Well,
I think
it's not going to take a lot of materials. I'm not a very big guy, so it would be very cost effective to do a statue of me more than maybe some others. But
probably.
A great tease on Shellis. I mean, there's so many people that have credited Shellis with being such an influence on their coaching career and their life. It was awesome to get to sit down with him and talk to him. He's very vulnerable with us about his story. Again, like Randy and you know, Coach Phillips, it was very authentic through his conversation of his story and his life and kind of where he is right now. And I think folks are really going to love that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. As we wrap up, we talk about learning. Do you have anything you've been learning from recently? Any books or any documentary or anything that you watch that's really...
To be honest, I am probably knee deep in parenting books still right now, reading through some parenting books. And honestly, our last season and a half of our podcast has been huge for me. You know, I've learned so much just from what we're doing right here has been really, really amazing. So, and we've picked up some other books. I'll have to, the Christian Athlete, Smith, right?
I believe so.
Anyway, that's a really good book. I'd recommend that. I'll get you the full notes on that for the show notes for folks, but that's been a great book that we've just started to dive into as a family.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's real good. Yeah. You say that. I mean, like people ask me all the time, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm like, honestly, I don't really anymore, because these interviews we get to do are incredible and I want to dive deeper into them. And the ones that I get to do with Think Global, Do Justice, which used to be Think Orphan. Again, these interviews, these conversations they're amazing. Like, and we don't just say that because it's us talking. No, it's like, despite that, right? Notwithstanding the fact that we're asking the questions, like the information we're getting in this it's gold. It really is leadership gold. So folks, go back, check them out if you haven't already listened to them. I will say I listened to Sam Allardyce's autobiography. That was an interesting read. You know, a guy who has always just kind of been not necessarily the biggest gigs. I mean, a couple of them were pretty darn big, but a guy who's been very faithful to the game. It was just interesting to see his story, his journey. That was really good. And then the other one is Alexander Hamilton. I'm listening to that. I'm in the middle of that biography. It's interesting to read about the founding fathers and some of these different guys, like the John Adams biopic. That was incredible. Some of those, encourage you folks out there to listen to those. And then I listen to books, and I do listen to the ones that are recommended. These are two that have been recommended over and over, and Ollie was the most recent too. But the John Gordon books, Training Camp, Energy Bus, they're solid. There's a reason why a lot of people talk about them. They're simple. They're easy. It's like the Lencioni books with the fables. They're good books. Solid. So you can, I mean, I listen to them. They're like 2 hours to listen to. So super easy. Like it's not quite a picture book, but close. So anyhow, any last parting words as we finish up season 10?
No, just appreciate all our listeners and their just engagement, and just would just encourage them if they're getting anything from this to pass it along to their friends, share. You know, that's how we grow and learn, is recommendations from our friends and family, and just encourage you guys to pass this along to others and keep tuning in and just share with us your thoughts as we continue to try to make this thing better and better, and just appreciate everybody's support and what we're doing here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that fully. And right now, folks, you can go check out the show notes to find out all the different things we've talked about, the different books, the different podcasts, the different things we've talked about. You can learn more about Warrior Way there. We'll have the link to Warrior Way soccer and all that Paul's doing there with Warrior Way, Warrior Way Gives, the different things. You can go check that website out at the show notes. You can also find more about DISC and Coaching the Bigger Game, the different things that we're working on with Providence. And, you know, as always, folks, as we finish up another season, man, I'm just like, I keep saying season 10, like I'm surprised because it's crazy. We've done a lot, 140 episodes or so of this podcast, and there's so much goodness in it. And so I just hope that you're learning as much as I'm learning, as much as Paul's learning from this, and you're taking away from these things lessons you can use, and that you are using everything you're learning from this show to be a better coach, to be a better parent, to be a better spouse, to be a better player, to be a better leader, and be better in all that you do. And continually remind yourself that soccer does explain life and leadership. Thanks a lot. Have a great couple weeks.